Today on an exciting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, the gentle sound of a childhood music box. Some would call the soft chimes emitted from such a device calming and charming. Others may find these soft notes foreboding and mysterious. For one family, the sound of these chimes could only mean one thing. The dead were lingering in the dark. But why were they there? And why did they choose to communicate through an old music box? We ask that question and more today on another haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, yeah, that it is. Welcome to the program. 855-853-4802. Call that number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your ghost stories with us. What else do you have to do right now? You know, really? Pick up the phone. Share your ghost story. Now is the time to do it and let it all out. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person on EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. All of it commercial free at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. My mind is a wandering tonight just because when we were walking here into the studio, Harper is home today and tomorrow and till God knows when at this point. And I was telling her, I was like, you know, when I was a kid, we had snow days. And then there was a couple of days that happened later in school years where it was just so darn cold, like negative 30 degrees. We had some days where it's like the power's kind of going out places and we don't want to risk having all your kids in this building. And the, you know, you basically they become kidsicles. And so we would be home for things like that. But you know, I know in some areas, there's fire danger. There's all different type of things depending on your climate and everything, but never in my life, did I think, oh, there'll be not snow days. There'll be pandemic days. And it's just, it kind of hit me today. I'm like, you're having a pandemic day. This is not a snow day. This is not a this. It's a pandemic day.
And last year, I had a pandemic year.
You did have a pandemic year.
And it sucked.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're back.
So happy.
But it's literally, they had to close the schools. And I know this is happening all over the country. We're recording this on the 20th of July, of January. I wish it was July. Of January of 2022 right now. And I know a lot of the country is experiencing this. By the time you hear this in about February 10th, we'll all be dead. But... I'm kidding. No, by the time this airs, I don't know. I don't know what's going to be going on. Hopefully it'll have peaked by then, or this will be one of those things where it's just kind of playing on a computer at random. And there's a man on a horse walking down the middle of the road. Like I hear that voice and this, it sounds like a current broadcast. Oh, wait, it was recorded long, long ago predicting the future.
So. Congratulations. You're all dead.
No, we're not trying to be that pessimistic, but it's just kind of, you know, it's just one of those things.
You know, study shows that at this point, it's impossible not to get COVID.
I think, I mean, unless you really completely never left your home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, at this point.
You have to be a hermit.
And we kind of did that, you know, we kind of did that already and kind of over that. But I mean, the thing is, I don't know half the, you don't know if you have it sometimes because good luck getting a test. And then if you do a test, sometimes it's not accurate. It's just, I don't know. My head is spinning and I enjoy talking about ghosts and I enjoy escaping all that world to be here. But anyway, I just wanted to say, I just thought it was interesting. Of the
pandemic days.
Yeah. And it's one where I hesitate to say, someday I'll be able to tell your kids about this. I don't know that it'll be that exciting because I don't know that they won't have them too, you know, where it's like, well, this is just kind of a thing now going forward. Where it's not like, well, you could say grandma remembers. Oh, you can be like, I remember a world before pandemic days. the china had never been used. The slittens were finally shown. They called it the Ship of Dreams, and it was. It really was. You know what that even is? Do you even know what that is?
Titanic.
Yes. Okay. Good. Good. Yeah.
Of course, I know that. Everyone in the world knows that.
Oh, I'm just glad you do. Okay. It's been a long time since I've done a Titanic reference. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter of the day.
And let's.
It starts. Hi, guys. I'm June from Minnesota. I am a newer listener, just found your podcast shortly before Glenn, a security guard, passed away, and let me say the tribute you gave him and his family speaks volumes about the community you've helped create. You're good people. I have a lot of stories over my 40 years on Earth. I'd say it begins when I was about four-ish. We're seeing a rainbow and moving school bus above my window in my bedroom. Never felt scared, thought it was fun. I recall telling my parents. They had a hard relationship. So I kept many things to myself. Fast forward to middle school age, I began to see what I would describe as an angel. I could only see the outline, but it was about 3 feet off the floor and appeared to wear a robe. I saw it at home and in the school. I truly believe now that it was my guardian angel. I never felt scared, but over time, with teenage angst setting in, I was getting annoyed. Like, why are you here? What did you want? Of course, at that age, I had no idea what I was doing, but I asked God to make it stop, and it did. Haven't seen it since. Over the years, as a teenager, my parents and I would hear all females' voices say our names. Never when all of us were together, though. Only when we were alone. My dad had two deceased sisters at the time, one of which was his twin. I always wondered if it was her. Her name was Denise. Many mornings we'd share that one of us felt a person sit on the end of the bed when we were trying to sleep. Though I only recall it happening to two of us on the same night. Otherwise, it was always happening to just one of us. As if the spirit was splitting its time with us evenly. I went up to college and nothing really ever happened, at least not that I noticed. Until I was 26 and in grad school, also pregnant with my first baby. I was living alone in a one-bedroom apartment in Duluth, Minnesota. I was on the first floor and each apartment door opened up to the outside world. There was no shared hallway. Many nights I'd wake up to the smell of either cigarette smoke, and I'm not a smoker, or the strong smell of Mexican food. I always assumed it was a neighbor, but what odd hours to have a smoke or cook a meal. And one morning, the second I woke up and opened my eyes, my latched bedroom door opened by itself, as if someone was waiting until I was awake to show me. They were there. I blew it off, but it happened the exact same way again the very next morning. I was officially creeped out. Shortly thereafter, when I woke up and opened my eyes, I saw an old woman right next to my bed, looking at me with a friendly smile on her face. I could only see her face. I could not look away. She had short, curly white hair, red lipstick, and was visible for about 5 to 10 seconds. I did not fear, but more of a sense of this lady was watching over me. I did not recognize her, so I assumed she once lived in my apartment. I never validated that theory with management. Once my daughter was born, I never smelled the smoke or Mexican food again. I have many other paranormal experiences that I'd like to call in at a later time. Thanks for reading. June.
It looks like you just got a visit from Lucille Ball.
Why is that?
Curly hair, red lipstick, screaming Lucille Ball.
Okay, but the Mexican food, did Lucy cook Mexican food?
I don't know. And to be honest, I really don't care.
I think that I like the Mexican food. I want the ghost that does that. Like, that would be awesome. Like, just every day you woke up and that's what you're smelling. Like, that'd be great. That would be awesome. That would be totally awesome. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the next letter. It says, hi, Tony. I'm Olivia from New Jersey, and like everyone else, I love the podcast. But let's skip to the good stuff. So ever since I was young, I've experienced spooky things like the TV or lights turning off by themselves. My mom's dad had passed before my sister and I were born, so whenever things like that happened around the family, my mom would say, hi, Dad. My mother, on the other hand, would make comments like, oh, it's just technology, must be an old light bulb. Fast forward to around maybe 09, I was 12 at the time, and I stayed home from school. I think I wasn't feeling good that day, but I remember the side eye my sister gave me as she walked out the door to catch the bus. Anyway, my dad worked, but my mom didn't. So she was home with me and had to go food shopping and get dog food, etc. She didn't plan for me to be home that day, and since I was sick, she let me stay home alone. Naturally, this was freaking great. I was excited as hell to be home alone for the very first time. Like I said, my sister was at school, my dad was at work, and I basically pushed my mom out the door, as she told me to lock up behind her. Don't answer the door for strangers, yada yada. Just leave the woman. When you walk into the front door, you're in a huge foyer with a cathedral ceiling with the stairs leading to the second floor. And to the left, we have French doors that lead to the dining room. We always keep those doors shut unless there's company over because we have dogs. I'm sure some people can agree that some things in their house have a distinct sound, and these doors were one of them in my house. Every time those doors opened, you can hear them shake and creak on their hinges while echoing through the foyer. So there I am, home alone, and I hear these French doors open and my dogs begin to bark. I hop out of the bed thinking my mom got home fast, and who is she with that they're going into the dining room? I look over to the stair balcony into the foyer, and I see the doors are all shut. I call out for my mom as I walk down the stairs, and of course I get no answer. I look around the house and out the window to see if anyone is in the driveway, and well, there's nothing. I knew I heard those doors open because, like I said, they have such a distinct sound. It's something I could never mistake to this day. I did keep it to myself, so no one thought I was scared to be home alone. Fast forward to the 2010 Super Bowl. As I mentioned before, my mom's dad had passed and was a huge Giants fan. We still have his season tickets and go to the games often. At some point, my grandpa gave me my mom a vintage tin music box, and she keeps on the shelf above the fireplace. So me, my parents, my sister, and my friend that were over at the time were in the living room watching the Super Bowl. I kid you not, the very second the Giants won, that music box started playing. I'm getting chills just thinking about that moment. This music box is something that needs to be wound up using the notch or the back in the order for the music to play. Like an older jewelry box. I wound that thing up many times as a child. Everyone in that room became silent as the music started to play and listened intently as it played slower and slower until it finally stopped. We are amazed and confused saying hello to my grandpa, but of course my dad's like, oh, that old thing, the spring probably bounced and made it play, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Dad. Ever since those incidents, I think spirits, ghosts, energies, whatever you want to call them, can sense that my mom and I are sensitive to them. I say this because my great uncle ended up in the hospital a few years later, probably about 14, 15 at this time. We went to visit him. He was unconscious and my family was in the room saying our goodbyes, and I felt this overwhelming sense come over me that's a bit hard to explain. It's like I got a bit lightheaded. I couldn't tell if I was going to pass out or throw up, but it was so strong that I had to sit down. I looked at my mom, and she looked at me, and we just stared at each other for what felt like a long, really long minute, if that makes sense, and then all of a sudden the feeling was gone. That's perfectly fine. After we left, I told my mom what I felt, and she said she felt the exact same thing, and that she thinks it was our family, who has already passed on, coming to be there for when my great uncle was ready to pass. He ended up passing that day, and my heart just sank. I'm 24 now, and there are still some times where I get that overwhelming feeling of, will I pass out or throw up? Sometimes it's so strong, I'm like, for the love of God, just pass out already. Other times I'm in public, I'm like, please do not let me pass out on this cold-ass floor in front of all these people. The most recent time, we were at an annual family barbecue. We'd been drinking sangria and began to feel a bit queasy, so I took some sips of water, thinking, shit, my dad definitely made this round. He has a heavy hand. A few minutes later, some family member pointed out a red cardinal sitting on the fence behind us. At this point, I've had a few family members pass, so to whoever it was, I thought, really, out of all of us here, you just had to go through me? Another thing I want to add is that I've been in two really bad car accidents, one where I swerved from a deer on a dark road and went head-on into a telephone pole. The pole snapped in half and the top half fell in the direction of my car, swiping the driver's side mirror clean off my car, inches away from me in the driver's seat. I just wanted other listeners to know that your loved ones who have passed really are there with you always. Hopefully not during every moment, but who knows, right? My mom has some of her old stories that I'll tell on another day.
I'd feel like I'd be less annoyed if all the family members that passed, like, went through me. Like, out of everyone here, you picked me?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
did you not want to be the calling card for everyone?
I would want to be.
Oh, you want to be? Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why would you want to be
because
the one?
Because out of everyone there, you have to have some sort of special connection to be the calling card.
Mm-hmm. So you think you are the chosen one in our family to be the communicator with the dead?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you're confident in this. Because that's not something I think, you know, when we all, you know, all, you and me, sit around the fire and have our family moment with our dog Comet. And we're like, who wants to be the spiritual communicator in the family? I guess I didn't know that you'd raise your hand and be like, that! Although, yeah, I can see you.
I mean, like, I'm already the most sensitive to paranormal, so.
I agree. It's you or the dog, so that's our options. And at least you can speak English, so I can understand what you're going to say more. So, but no, I know
the
you are.
House doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah, no, you are. You really are. We've talked about that many times on the show. I mean, since you were little, you've always had moments. I mean, the one that I think really made me really believe it and solidify it for me, and it wasn't just, you know, babies are sensitive, was when we were in the Titanic Museum in Branson, and you did not want to go out into the area that represented the outside of the ship that night. You didn't know it was cold out there. You just did not want to go into that area, period. And it really wasn't scary aesthetically. It actually looked pretty. It looked like the night sky is what it looked like. So there wasn't like an element of fear to it, but you just did not want to go there. And then about a year or two later, we're watching that episode of Ghost Adventures, and they're finding all the children fingerprints on the mirror or on the glass that you were like freaking out about. So you way ahead of time knew that. Don't play with a can like that. You're going to cut your finger. Are you trying to open it?
No.
Oh, don't mess with that.
Okay.
This is where you tell your children, don't put your fingers in aluminum cans. Live on the radio. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us.
Is it a caller or is it a letter?
It's going to be a caller. You almost had a rescue 911 moment if you kept doing that.
Rescue 911, what's your emergency?
Let's go to another.
I cut off my finger!
She knows that because there's a rescue 911 pinball table upstairs by her bedroom. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony. My name is Julie, and I am calling from Georgia. I'm originally from Iowa, and this story is about when, as a young woman, I was pregnant and married. We bought a new family home. Well, it wasn't new, but it was new to us, in Des Moines. And it was once an old farm. And over the years, the farmer had sold off the land and parceled it out. And they had refurbished the farmhouse to look modern. It was a house I always appreciated and loved when I drove by it. And one day it came up for sale and we bought it. We were excited. We were this young married couple and we were expecting our first child. And once we moved in, you know, my then husband was gone a lot. He was a police officer and he was gone a lot. He was on the tactical unit, so he'd be gone for 24, 48-hour stretches. And I was left alone a lot in the house. Well, I was nesting, and I was doing a nursery and painting and whatnot. And there were just certain rooms in that house I just did not really feel comfortable in. It was just one of those things where you, when you go up the steps, you go a little faster because you just feel a presence behind you kind of thing. And I'm not one to be spooked by too much. I was always that kid that would look under the bed for the boogeyman. So I wasn't really naturally afraid. It was just the strangeness about it. The person that we bought the house from was an attorney. And he had left a bunch of his files in a file cabinet in the garage. So now, mind you, he was an attorney for violent crimes and whatnot. So I'd constantly leave messages for his attorney to come pick up his files, which he eventually did. But I don't know, you go through some of the files, it's just kind of creepy. So anyway, I was laying in bed one night, pretty pregnant at this point, and I felt a very negative presence in the room. And I just happened to kind of glance up, and I saw a tall, dark shadow figure. When people say it's darker than the room, it was truly darker than the room. And I could see it. It looked like a man almost in a black, long black dress coat. And it was paralyzing. It was so scary. It was paralyzing. And I tried to wake up my husband, and of course he wouldn't wake up. And you just could feel the evil coming off this thing. And so I just pulled the covers up over my head, and it was scary. So that was the first time I saw that shadow figure. And then another night, I'm laying in bed, and I could hear scratching in between, well, in the wall behind the bed. It was like a scratching noise, clawing, scratching. And so I told my husband, and that next weekend, him and his buddy went up on the patio and tried to figure out what was going on in that wall. Maybe there was a bird or an animal or something, and they couldn't find anything. That was uncomfortable, and I thought, ugh, I don't think I like this. And then my daughter was born, and I'm laying in bed, and I feel that presence again. And I glance up, and I see that dark figure, and I repeatedly try to wake up my husband, and he would not wake up. And I saw the thing turn and walk down the hall to my daughter's nursery. And I can remember waking up, or not waking up, I can remember all of a sudden I'm in front of her crib screaming at the top of my voice because I saw this thing go down into her room. What was strange also is we had a dog, and that dog would sleep in her bedroom right in front of her crib. And happy, but this dog at night would lay by in front of her crib, and I thought, oh, I'm not feeling good about this whole thing. Well, right after that, the baby's getting a little older, and I was down in the family room downstairs, and she would go to the bottom of the stairs and stand there and point up and cry. And I thought, what is she seeing? So I got up and I would go and peek around to look at the top of the stairs, and I don't see a thing. But yet she's pointing, and you could tell she was scared. So I picked her up and took her upstairs. And at that point, I told my husband, I can't stay in this house anymore. So we put the house on the market, and I'm laying in bed another night, and I hear whispering. And as I'm laying there, I just open my eye and I see these two older women, and they're standing off to the side of my bed and they're talking to each other. And when they look down at me and they see that I'm looking at them, they just kind of dissipate. And at this point, I think I'm losing my mind because now I'm seeing stuff. And I couldn't pack fast enough to get out of that house. We did finally sell the house. But those memories of that dark shadow figure and the scratching noises and the whispering. Oh, not to mention, at one point we had had water damage in one of the bathrooms, and when we cut open the wall, there was clothes packed in the walls, old clothes. And I thought, oh God. So, long story short, between the dark shadow figure, seeing those ladies, the reactions of my newborn child, we left, and I just never got over that. So that's my story, and once you see something like that, you never forget, and you never can unsee it. Thank you. I do enjoy your show, and I appreciate you listening. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you for sharing those experiences.
With the dog that usually kind of sleeps by the child's crib, It almost kind of makes me think, because it said that she, like, just woke up and was, like, right in front of her crib.
Mm-hmm. That dog was trying to protect that kid.
Yes.
That dog was, it knew something was up, and it knew what its job was.
Yeah. It almost kind of makes me think that she kind of woke up in the dog's body. It was the dog.
Huh?
It said that she woke up in front of the child's crib.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the dog sleep? In front of the child's crib. And was trying to protect the kid.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Did she become the dog?
Like on
Ghostbusters?
Maybe. Maybe not.
And then she ends up on the roof. And then there's like Gozer. And there's a Marshmallow Man. And it just all goes to hell.
No. Papa. Oh, Jesus.
I taught her how to do that when she was like 2. Or less. You were like 1.5.
Yeah, it was 1.5.
It was one of the memories that popped up on Facebook for me the other day, actually. It was you at like 1.5 saying, no, Hoppa, only Zool. And God, I mean, you were like in the car carry. You were really tiny. The joke was, we would go to restaurants and you would be in the, your high, like, you know, like the booster chair, the high chair, whatever. And the waitresses sometimes would come over to you and, you know, kind of entertain you and be like, and what would you like? And I would teach you. I'd be like, when the waitress comes, honey, go, no Hoppa, only Zool. And you did it many a times at a restaurant. Yeah, there were some Pizza Huts that we've been banned for life from. Because,
really?
No, I'm kidding. No, but I do remember, there actually, here's a true story. So.
I think I remember this one.
What?
Me and the carrier, this lady coming up to me like, oh, what a beautiful baby.
She's a communist? No, that involved me saying that to the waitress. Okay. Yeah. Nowhere in a restaurant. Harper's in the carrier. What a beautiful baby you have. And she was. She looked like a porcelain doll. And what a beautiful baby. And I go, yeah, she's a communist. Because I would just say the craziest things to these young girls who are like, they're probably, you know, 17, 18, 19. They're hostesses at the restaurant. And they don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
What is a communist?
It's a political party like in Russia or China or something like that. And it's And so it's a crazy thing to say that your baby is a communist. It's just insane. But I said it, and I remember I said it to this one hostess girl, and she's just doing her job. And I'm just kind of getting a chuckle out of them, not knowing what the hell I'm saying. And then she goes over to all of her other waitress friends over there. Again, they're all like 18, 19, 20 in that area. And she, oh, that baby over there is a communist. And they're all like, oh, what a cute communist baby. No clue what the hell that was. No clue whatsoever. And there's like some older folks that are sitting like in the bench back when you waited at restaurants amongst other folks, and everybody packed in like sardines. You could hear, and there were some older folks there, and they heard these girls all like, you know, chirping, oh, the cute little communist baby over there. And like the look on this one guy's face, he had to be probably like in his 60s or 70s. He looks over like, what the hell are these waitresses and hostesses talking about? And they're pointing over at us. And I'm just like, oh, God. Somehow this old gentleman over there is hearing that you're a communist baby. As we wait to go get a seat at the, I think it was a Granite City is what, I don't know if that restaurant's around anymore.
Oh, thank you. She's a communist.
Yeah.
What's the locks of hair story?
Locks of hair.
I'm selling locks of hair.
Oh, I would say that to people too. Yes. So, yeah.
I have a story to tell. I have a story to tell. So we were at like a, I think we were at like an outdoor mall.
Okay.
And we were exiting this one store. And it's just like, oh, I just love your hair. And you had taught me this.
Yes.
And I say, thank you. I'm selling locks of it for $5.
You're like, you're in a stroller, so you're like three. Like, thank you. I'm selling locks of it for $5. And you get these looks. It became a joke, and it really did become comical. And the reason I would do this is because, well, I'm me. And I know, and you loved it too. You would go pretend you were a mannequin sometimes in stores, in store windows, and I'd have to like get you out. Like, honey, you can't stand up there like that. And you're like, I'm screwing with people. I'm like, you're three. Stop. And as you can tell, we're very close. Yeah, you would just get pointed out so frequently because of your red hair, and you had this little mohawk thing in the back of your head, and you just had, you looked like a porcelain doll. I mean, you still, you've grown up a bit more now, you know, you're a beautiful girl. When you're a baby, you literally looked like a porcelain doll. You just had that look to you. And it was just so funny, just because everywhere we go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then when you could speak, it was like, now we're going to have some fun. Yeah.
Next time I get a compliment, it's just like, oh, I love your hair. Thank you. I'm selling locks of it for $5.
Well, now they're going to think you're legitimately doing that. And some people are going to like start pulling out, like, do you take Venmo?
It's like, no, you insane person.
So that's, yeah, people... it's a different world now.
I don't take Venmo. I take PayPal.
PayPal. You can have all the hair you want. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Would you like some Harper hair?
No. That's not like become an EPP, get a lock of Harper's hair. That's like creepy as hell. All right, that's going to wrap
you
up.
You can duplicate me with my
DNA.
No,
we're not. Okay, we're not going to duplicate you with your DNA. God. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.